Another great episode of Mystery of Parenthood is coming up next. If you like what you hear, please go to our website, redsearadio.org, and donate to our apostolate, or even become a member of our Immaculata Recurring Gift Society and keep us on the air. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
All right. You know what that means when you hear that music. That means you're listening to The Mystery of Parenthood. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Stephanie. And since she's here, you're going to get to hear her pray the prayer.
Good morning. Good morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord God, from you, every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Father, you are love and life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, born of woman, and through the Holy Spirit, the fountain of divine charity, grant that every family on earth may become for each successive generation a true shrine of life and love. Grant that your grace may guide the thoughts and actions of husbands and wives for the good of their families and of all the families in the world. Grant that the young may find in the family solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love. And grant that love, strengthened by the grace of the sacrament of marriage, may prove mightier than all the weaknesses and trials through which our families sometimes pass. Through the intercession of the Holy Family of Nazareth, grant that the Church may fruitfully carry out her worldwide mission in and through our families. We ask this of you, who is life, truth, and love, with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Holy Family of Nazareth,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
Amen. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
All right. Well, you'll be listening to this the Tuesday of Holy Week, and we've done it before, but I think it's always good to kind of go back, and we might have one 23-year-old at home for the week leading up to it. Hopefully they'll all be there by Good Friday. But we used to always really enjoy Holy Week and had lots of things that we included in that week to kind of bring us kind of into and let the kids experience some depth on what we're celebrating, what we're remembering. And so I think that it's important, as we've talked about before, to be purposeful, which means to be intentional, which means to think about what's going on. And so on this Tuesday, which is right before the Triduum starts, we thought we'd give you a few ideas, some things that we used. Obviously, some are for varying ages. And so maybe take one if you haven't done it and add it to the equation for the week, maybe a couple. And so, anyway, Holy Week's the highest week of the year, right? I mean, it's the Easter is one of the two octaves. I said, us Catholics are more celebratory than most. We have two 8-day days, and one's Christmas and one's Easter. And so, this is leading into that, and to prepare for that. So, anyway. I thought that perhaps what we could go through in terms of some things, I don't know what your thoughts were with regard to things that we've done with our children, maybe going through Holy Thursday or leading up to Holy Thursday, Good Friday.
We'll certainly get a bulletin on Sunday because I said certainly get a bulletin on Sunday because
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, hope you got a bulletin. Of course, now it's all on a website. So that was back in the day when we had to have a bulletin, had to have a bulletin. Now you don't have to have a bulletin. You can just go to your church's website and see. I mean, it just usually is a week that is packed with such beautiful celebrations,
right,
of prior to our to Good Friday.
And I think it's probably important to remember to kind of reinforce the fact that the liturgy has always been considered and certainly was prior to what we have now, but still is today, is meant to be the primary teaching instrument of the church. And so what's going on in the Mass, that's why, and in this particular time of year, all of the liturgies are something that you can go back and look at in the Bible because they're part of the story of Jesus, the high point, and the low point is the high point, or at least the beginning of the high point. And so I think it's important to be able to kind of have a intentional way of going through the Triduum for sure, and Holy Week, right? It does start, I guess. Tuesday is the Chrism Mass, which is kind of cool. I don't think, have we ever been to the Chrism Mass? I don't think so. I'd like to go one day.
Yeah.
Maybe when we get older.
Yeah. Yeah, because it...
they're the wheel us in.
There you go. That's about to say. We may be receiving a lot of those oils at that point.
Yeah, we need some of the stronger oils.
I don't think that we've ever, because there'll be no priests, the priests are all there
for the Chrism Mass. He takes the oils and blesses the oils, and to be there at that time is it communicates the fact that really, again, this is teaching. All the priests are there. The bishop is overseeing it, and it shows what we believe, that the bishop is the head of this diocese, right? And so all the priests going there are going there to receive from him and then bring back so that they can administer those oils to the people who are going, that are coming into the church, right?
Right.
So I'd love to do that. That happens on Tuesday. Maybe if you're a homeschooler or... if you just want to, you know, mom pulled me out to watch a Red Sox game. So, I mean, certainly somebody's mom might be pulling me out for something at least as important and take him to the Chrism Mass, which is over in Austin. I'm assuming it's at St. Mary's at the Cathedral. I would be willing to bet. But that might be something to bring to fully get into that. I'm trying to think of after that, you know, you're leading into Holy Week. So also really good time if you haven't been, and I think at this point it'll be past the point of the communal confessions,
Penance
but
services.
The penance services, but there still should be Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday.
Well, probably not Tuesday because they'll...
Not Tuesday. Yeah. It'd be kind of hard. Hey, just by the way, you need a priest to go to confession. So maybe I don't plan on Tuesday, but...
They'll all be at the Chrism.
Yeah, unless you go there and grab one on the way out. But certainly Monday, maybe Wednesday. Certainly not Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, unless some special circumstances and you know somebody really close. But it's a time to do that. So it's a really good time to recognize that what happens on Holy Week, the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord, Jesus. And important to remember that he died for our sins and he left for us a church, and that one of the sacraments that he's left us is confession. And I always think, this is not totally an aside, but it's good to teach your kids that whatever we're filled with, whatever part of us is filled with sinfulness, blocks God's grace, right? Or at least it limits his grace. And so as we enter into Holy Week, it's a good time to go, if you haven't already, to go to confession as a family, not all in the confessional together, but at least say, hey, you know, let's go sat. Maybe this will be too late, but we're taping this on Thursday before, but on a Saturday or on a Monday or whatever, and make sure that you are going, making a good confession so that you're fully open to receiving all the graces that are going to pour out during this highest season of all Christendom, of all Christianity. So anyway, so what do we got?
I was just looking at, I just happened to look at St. Mary's website to see.
Yeah, right at the top, Holy Thursday, no confessions, right? Yes. So I don't know if you had anything else, but confession is a good thing to happen. You'd probably want to do it on Monday or Wednesday if you haven't already done it. To be ready for that, it's a good time to talk about emptying ourselves of ourselves and our selfishness and our sinfulness for the sake of receiving and being more open to receiving all the graces that God has in store for us. Because when we receive His grace, that grace has impact on our lives and our ability to become the saints that we're meant to be. So,
And I think we talked about the fact that a good visual, I think we, did we talk about this?
I don't know.
Last time or two times ago? I can't remember when. All the days kind of run together. But, you know, just a good visual when you're talking to your kids about being, you know, open to God's grace is just really simple. I mean, you know, it's a great little activity to do with them is, you know, have them gather a bunch of rocks outside and fill a glass.
Right.
You need it to be a glass because you need to be able to see through it. And have them, you know, fill a glass with rocks and measure out water. And how much water can you put into the glass when it's filled with rocks? You know, so let's say it's, you know, half a cup. Water obviously is God's grace. And take the rocks out, which is, you know, a good confession. And now how much water can you put into the glass,
right?
You know? And so sometimes I need
visuals.
Some good visuals sometimes.
Right.
So it's, you know, just such a simple little activity to do with kids.
Now I'd be scared to do this, but it would also work. And it actually is tied. St. Francis de Sales talks about the oil of vainglory. And his is, if you're filled with the oil of vainglory, you can't, because if you put oil in a glass, the water won't go below, so it's blocked as well, or at least limited. And so either those images, I'd be scared to death with any small kids and oil. certainly not motor oil, maybe like olive oil or something. But rocks will do too, or pebbles. And you know, obviously you could go even further, and mortal sin would be blocking the top of it, and you can't get any in that. It's the grace is still there, because I think it's really important for people to remember God's grace objectively is available to us, but if we have mortal sin, we're actually blocking the ability of it. Still there. So just can't receive it as fully. And so that's something you could do with your kids to kind of prepare them for, hey, we're going to go and empty out our rocks or our oil or just our sins, something along those lines. But I think that's a good time to do leading right up to Holy Week to be ready for that. And then I guess we get to Holy Thursday. Holy Thursday is one of my favorites. It's a good time to go and read. Leading into that, Holy Thursday for this week at St. Mary's. Typically, it's in the evening. It's the Mass of our Lord's Supper. One of the cool things, if you haven't been, is the washing of the feet. That during that Mass, they'll typically pull out 12 people with their shoes off. I've never actually wanted to do that. But the priest will come down and wash the feet of that in memory of what Jesus did at the Last Supper. And so a good thing to do is read through, like go to the back of the Gospels, and find things to tie with what you're celebrating, right? So the Mass of the Lord's Supper is the last one. And is remembering what he did with his apostles. Obviously, John 14 through 17, there's a ton there with what he did. I think actually maybe it's 13. But in that area, John, to read that, I think that's something really neat to do. What else? I don't know what you were... Oh, yeah. Also, then following Mass, this is kind of cool. So if you have the story in front of you and they've heard the story, they know that they have the Last Supper. He that's the first Eucharist. This is my body. Judas leaves. And then after he says prayer, he leaves and goes with his apostles to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prays, and that's where you have Peter, James, and John, and them falling asleep, and could you not sit with me 1 hour? And so one of the things you can do is usually following that Mass, they will take the Eucharist, the host, Jesus, out somewhere, and in a monstrance, Jesus will be there, exposed and available for adoration to be with him. And so you can kind of link that to being there in the garden with Jesus, if they're familiar with the story. I think that's a great exercise, and it's great for us to kind of remember that. So, and that goes that, I mean, I've heard people have not done this either, but that's at all the different churches around town. So I've known people who've gone, who you go to one and then you go to another one and stick your head in and maybe kneel down and pray something, again, a tradition, something that you can do that kind of engages the children. Obviously, if they're younger, you got to prepare them before, right? You know, tell them and then have some level of, hey, it's going to be 5 minutes or it's going to be 10 or whatever. And so we're going to be in there with Jesus. We just read this story this morning or last night or whatever that talks about Jesus saying, couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? We're going to go, I'm just asking you for 10 minutes, you know? I mean, and so let's go and do that. And let's see if we can't stay with him for some period of time. Certainly as they get older, it might be even more than that, but
yeah. So again, just knowing the ages and you know, of your children and what, so there's so many activities during this week, so many masses, so many celebrations, to kind of look at that schedule, you know, again, like
in advance,
you know, in advance. Yeah. So, you know, like I said, hopefully you're hearing this Tuesday morning, kind of look at that schedule of things and what are good times for your kids? What are good, you know?
7:15 for a 3-year-old might not be a good time. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Certainly not 9:30 for the.
Yeah. So then, you know, do some of these things at home. You know, I mean, if some of these times are not good, I mean, you know, you line up the stuffed animals or you make it fun. Yeah. You can make it fun for littles who would not normally be able to do these times, but just to, you know, to read the stories, to talk about it and, you know, to do some of the activities, you know, in your own home that you would normally do at church. But again, just to know, you know, set yourself and your children up for
success.
Success. Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot. I mean, especially during this time when you're going to maybe spending quite a bit of time with them, you know, prepare them. Obviously, hopefully, like I said, we used to always say that the trick to getting them to behave at Mass in the long one is to bring them to either adoration and or daily Masses to the extent that you can, to just get them used to what's going on there. And we always said, you know, I don't remember my kids saying, do we have to go to Mass? Because I always say, we get to go to Mass. I mean, there's where the angel, there's where Jesus is, Mary is, where Mamu and my grandparents and are there. I mean, I'm excited about going to Mass. And that's the way it was. And I think that's part of what you're conveying there. And this is now the height of that, of what we celebrate all year long is happening during these 3 days. So look at the Mass of the Lord's Supper, if you can appropriately. If not, then read the story, of the Last Supper with your kids, or even just tell the story and maybe just pull a few lines out, but spend a little bit of time on that. And then again, maybe just, hey, we're going to sit a little bit with the Lord and hopefully do better than Peter, James, and John did, you know, or at least challenge them to that. I mean, just something to kind of get them to enter into it. Because the cool thing is we as Catholics believe that what we're seeing represented in that Mass, in the Mass itself, is actually affecting that. We really are there at the foot of the cross, that we're really there at the Last Supper, that we're really there in heaven, and that we have to communicate that there should be a level of excitement in that, and that we get to enter into it in a real way, and we might do it in other ways to remind us of that. So, but it's important to kind of lay the groundwork. So Holy Thursday happens. You have that, the Garden of Gethsemane, and then we enter Good Friday. And I mean, Good Friday again, no confessions. we'll usually do Stations of the Cross. I don't know if they do it here anymore, but for years what we did was the live stations that St. Anthony's used to do, which was a hike around.
It was so beautiful.
It was really neat. And the students
around the neighborhood.
Around the neighborhood over there near the church.
And, Brian. Mm-hmm.
And you'd have live stations where you'd have students dressed up as Roman soldiers. You'd have somebody playing Jesus, and they would go through the Stations of the Cross as we walk. So you'd have one, you might walk, I don't know, it felt like we walked miles. If you do it, make sure you got good shoes on. I've done it in boots and I've regretted it. But anyway, opportunity offered up. So Good Friday, one of the things that I think is so important to point out, if you go into a church for forever, we would point, where is Jesus when they walk into a church? Where is Jesus? And teach them that the red candle that's lit is that. And where is the red candle? So where is Jesus? That's where we would genuflect, because that's where the Lord is. And the genuflection is for the Lord. And
in this day and age,
it's a kind of where's Jesus
activity, because right. I know going, you know, if you've gone to other churches in other cities, you know, I realized that we all just sort of, I don't remember at what point we realized that, but that we all just kind of rotely genuflect to the altar. And a lot of times it's like, wait, Jesus is in a side chapel, or Jesus is off to the, you know.
Right. Don't put Jesus in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. So really help your kids pay attention to that detail of, you know.
Well, it's part of trying to connect the heart with the external, right? I mean, we as Catholics can get very kind of rote, like this is what we do. And so you kind of just do it. You know, you cross yourself. You got to teach your kids that when you cross yourself, you're saying a prayer. You know, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is a prayer. Many great saints talked about the power against demons and anybody who would wish to, of just saying that as a prayer. But that's part of a connection between the external and what's going on in the heart. The same thing with a genuflection. You know, we should say, you know, Lord, or something, and genuflect. That's a sign of He is my Lord. That's what the Romans would do to Caesar or to somebody over them. So we can get to some of the movies, especially some of the older ones we'd show. But you'd see a genuflection in movies like The Robe and others, when you'd have you can show a Roman soldier that would genuflect to Caesar or to whomever. Well, that's what we're doing, because He is the Lord. Caesar wasn't, but Jesus is the Lord. And so we need to genuflect towards Him consciously with even maybe a prayer. You know, Lord, thank you for letting me be here. That type of thing. So that we can help make the connections. But one of the things is, I still to this day will ask my kids, okay, what's the one day? We'll say, there's Mass every day of the year, except for one. Well, what's the one day? It's Good Friday. There is no Mass on Good Friday. When you walk into a church on Good Friday, one of the noticeable things is the red candle is not lit, and the tabernacle is open, and there's nothing in the tabernacle. Again, it's the one time out of 365 days out of the year when that's the case. Why is it? Well, he died. We're remembering the sadness of the apostles and the fear. What would it be like to not have Jesus around? What would that be like? And I think that that's important, both in terms of teaching them, if you go into church on Good Friday, you don't genuflect. You can bow towards the altar, which represents the cross, but there's no genuflection because the Lord literally, in sacramental ways, which is what we would genuflect to during the rest of the year, he's not there. And so that should be a feeling of sadness. I think during one of the lowlights of COVID, and one of the things that made me appreciate even more was when they closed down the churches and we couldn't go to Mass. I mean, that was something I had never experienced in my life. I mean, 50-some-odd years, had never experienced in my life, and how much of a hole I felt as a result of that. To watch Mass and to say, I mean, this is the best we can do to participate in the Mass, but we're not there, and we don't get to receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, because we're not there and available to do it. And I hope that some people, I know it impacted me because I've always taken it for granted. I mean, to be honest, I mean, there's whole countries that they have to battle. You know, they have to battle to do it. There's countries where they don't have enough priests, or they're so out there that they would walk. There was a cool, I don't know if they just did it this past week, but they, I think it was this past Sunday, where they were, where in remembrance of the fact that this church used to not be here, that the core, the Catholic core members years ago would gather and they would walk 6 miles, which is nothing in some countries, but here it would 6 miles to get to St. Joseph's on time to go to Mass. Mm. And so they did it the other day where they had Mass over there and everybody could gather here and experience what that walk was. And I think that's also part of what this is. And we as humans need to really do a good job of helping our children connect with the past. I mean, literally we're connecting with the past in our participation in the Mass, but there's lots of things like doing the things, going to after the Lord's Supper or being there at the Lord's Supper where you can kind of tap into that. But that also means that we as parents should help them tap into the past of their predecessors more closely. So for here, I thought it was really cool that they're remembering what the cadets used to have to do to get the Mass on Sunday. They couldn't just walk across, I don't know if it's university then, whatever, but just across from campus and go there. So it's something we should do all year long is, hey, it's your grandmother's birthday. She's been gone for a while. Tell stories about grandpa. So this is a little extension beyond just Easter and that, but I think at the same time it's important to remember that. So I don't know. I rambleth on.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was just looking at to see if St. Anthony's had anything on their website, and I don't. Just my quick little glance, just for the stations, because that was beautiful. It was such a witness to walk through those neighborhoods and talk to people, and
it was awesome. Yeah, I wish they
hand
would
out
do
Bible.
It.
We would hand out candy with Bible verses tied to them,
and there would be hundreds of people.
Yeah, yeah,
and so. The kids always loved it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they always appreciated the stations across here, but that was kind of
was
outside. It was live, you know.
And I mean, and you were walking
that.
With Jesus and the Roman soldiers.
Right.
They just have all, they had always done for is years it, such a great job of
so there's
reenacting that.
So so if you can't do that, I think there are several, obviously, as they get older and according to their ability to receive it, The Passion is a great movie to watch. Now, we've talked before on that day, we've talked before on this show how one of our children, we were like, even as a teenager up to a certain point, we were like, you can't watch it. Well, there was other kids, we have triplets. We let some of the other children, because we thought they could handle it, and said, it's really this, you really would not enjoy this. Yeah. I mean, this would really, I mean, enjoy is the wrong word. Yeah. Appreciate it without being really negatively impacted by
I would definitely recommend before you let any of your children watch The Passion that you watch it yourself, because it's definitely a decision, you know, that you have to make for each child's heart, because I watch behind.
It's hard to watch.
It's hard to watch. Very hard to watch.
But it does communicate.
It's a beautiful.
What he did for us. Mm-hmm. Other things that I think. I mean, when they're younger, I think you could go get the robe, which is kind of a cool.
It's a very old
movie. Very old movie, but it's one that we've shown our kids. It's back in the 50s, I think, and so I think for most kids. Yeah, maybe not little kids, but certainly 7, 8-year-old, 9. I think I would say you probably could watch that. As with all movies, you know your kids best. Mm-hmm. You know, watch it and see. But they always enjoyed that. And the story behind that is the Roman soldier who won the robe is impacted by coming in contact with the robe and has a conversion and, you know, meets Peter and sees the apostles after. After that, but that's a pretty neat show. So that it's a time for those type of things. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, all during this week, I mean, I know, you know, Easter egg hunts are usually, you know, on Easter, but they're, if you've never seen, the resurrection eggs, and I just looked it up, they're actually on Amazon, so you could probably get them before Good Friday, even if you're listening to this on Tuesday. They're really a fun way to for littles, you know, little kids to tell the story, because there's a you know, there are symbols in each of, I mean, there's no candy.
Right.
There's symbols in each of the, you know, in each of the colors, and usually has a little booklet with it. And so, you know, you gather the kids after they've found, you know, the 12 eggs, and you start with, you know, and I don't remember what colors, but, you know, yellow may be number one, and it's, you know, it's got, you know, a garden. I mean, something about the garden. I mean, it's all different. I think it had a donkey. I think one of them had a donkey.
Yeah, so donkey for him coming into the.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's got little blurbs for each color and each colored egg and each. So it tells you what order to go in. You know, to sort of
open up the egg and there's a symbol and you have
and then you have the little
you have the little blurb that kind of talks you through all the way from him entering.
Yeah,
Jerusalem.
Palm Sunday.
From Palm Sunday forward.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. That was really neat.
The kids love that. So that's something, again, you know, when you're thinking about what you can do to teach your kids if they're young enough, if they're too young to attend all these services that are available, that's something that can get you through the whole story in kind of a fun way.
Different way.
Different way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved those.
Yeah, those were.
Yeah, and like I said, I just went to look and see if they were, you know, still available, and absolutely, they're on.
They are.
As everything is on Amazon.
On Amazon. This is not brought to you by Amazon, by the way. but anyway, yeah. So, things like that, I think, are important to try to, and you're gauging your children and where they are.
And I think we talked about, you know, the stations that we had found some beautiful. And I really want to say, I'm so sorry. I need to go back and find if I can see where I got those. I put them in a binder, so I don't know if.
And you laminated them, right?
I did. Well, I put them in a little cover. Little thing. They were just beautiful. I mean, y'all can Google anything. I know y'all are better at that than I am, but we just got some beautiful. They're 8x10s of all the Stations of the Cross, and another. You know, again, if that's something that's too much for your children, then at home we always loved, you know, setting them around the room and turning out the lights, and then each kid had a flashlight. You know, and it, you shined it on the station that you were, you know, that you were doing. So,
right.
You know, and I think I had, you know, cause I know in RE and stuff, the kids were all getting coloring pages and little blurbs. So I think that's what I use just to describe each station. Cause obviously the stations that we do are very adult in the church. So,
right.
But you can always grab one of those books and use those, at home, with that. But that's another, thing that if you, you know, again, can't get to the actual service or it's not a good time for your kiddos, then that's another.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. That is kind of cool.
Way to celebrate this week, with the stories and.
Yeah, at Holy Saturday, I don't know how long we've done it,
I can't remember not doing it.
I can't remember not doing it. On Holy Saturday, we have always gone to the vigil. Our kids don't even know what it's like to go
to Easter Sunday
Mass because we go to the vigil. And even to this day, they go, well, if you haven't been to the vigil, you know, don't take a little one because, you know, depending on where you are, I mean, it's a solid minimum 2.5 hours. We've been to 3.5-4 hour ones by the time from start to finish, but it is the highest Mass of the year. And it takes you through for anybody that thinks we have some lack of biblical knowledge or that we try to hide behind the Bible so that we can talk Catholic. No, you're going to read effectively the whole story of, the salvation of the Lord from the fall all the way to the resurrection. But there's so many cool things about that. And at some point it's pretty neat because when Father David was here, Bishop David, you know, he's kind of an outdoorsman. I mean, he would literally from Flint start the thing. So the if you haven't been, it's a great teaching tool too, is the church is dark. And it's dark. And from outside the church, there's a fire started, and the candle, the Easter candle, which I think he also would make himself. I could never have done that. But anyway, he would go out and start with flint, a fire, and there would be all the prayers out there. It'd be dark outside, and that would be the fire from which there would be the light of Christ, the vigil candle, and that candle would be brought to the church. And there's so many neat things about that. I mean, the, you know, light of Christ is always kind of, I don't know what the chanted, I guess is the right word. And you hear, I mean, it's yelled, chanted to where everybody can hear it. So even if you're sitting upstairs or away, you can hear light of Christ, and it kind of points to just that one little light came into the darkness. But then there's the other, everybody's got their own little candles. So at some point, to the extent that you can keep them in there, kids love candles. So, you know, they like fire. But it's really neat because when they come in from that Easter candle, from Jesus, the little candles are received and then they're passed out person to person, like down a row. And it communicates very symbolically what we're meant to do. And you could see how the church lights up, not fully light, but when you have a full church of little candles, the darkness is dissipated. Well, that again communicates something about what we believe about what Jesus has done and how he operates. So somebody took it from the Easter candle, but I didn't get it directly from the Easter candle. I got it from somebody else who had received it from the Easter candle, who had received it from somebody else, who'd received it from somebody else. That's what evangelization is, right? I mean, that itself, and then it's meant to light up the world. We're meant to be the light of the world because Jesus is the light of the world, but we are part of his body. And so that's a great it's a great exercise, or at least communication of that. Then you read all the readings are read in You get your Catholic calisthenics in. I mean, you might have to get in shape before you go because you're standing, sitting, kneeling multiple times. But it's all in dark. And I know how they do it here. I don't know if it's part of the rubrics or not. I assume it's everywhere else. But when it goes, there's a lot of Old Testament readings. And those Old Testament readings are read in basically darkness. And then when you get to the New Testament after, you know, when you get to a New Testament reading, it's the lights all of a sudden come on. The whole church is lit up. And then when you get to the gospel, it's just blaring trumpets and loud music and everything, which is again, a great tool of communicating. The other thing that's great about that is you can teach because there are going to be people that are being baptized. There are going to be people getting confirmed. And they're going to be people receiving the Eucharist for the first time ever. And you can teach them, even prior to confirmation, you can teach them the fact that you've already been baptized and here's somebody, you've already received that gift and how it changed you and how excited these 50 or so grown-ups to them are about receiving it. There's tons you could talk about how, you know, the natural progression, it's not always done that, but that you have baptism, then confirmation, and then receive Holy Communion, you know. So many teaching tools there. We love it. Our kids don't know any different. So, I certainly we weren't doing that when they were six, I don't think. But
yeah, like I said,
I don't remember a time when it wasn't, but yeah. I don't remember when that was, but that takes some coaching and counseling.
Because it's a good 4 hours.
It's a lengthy, but it is so beautiful and so wonderful, particularly if you help your kids understand what's going on in the sacraments. I mean, there's people getting baptized there. What happens, I used to tell them, because I had a professor tell me, if we could see what happens at baptism, it greater than any explosion, something happens in reality, is changed in that person that is beyond our comprehension. And so to have people be excited, you're watching something happen, a person who still has original sin, who is now changed forever, marked forever as one of his. So great time to be talking about the sacraments as well. Mm-hmm. And for all of you who have not listened before, and for those who have, you can repeat after me. Sacrament, visible sign of an invisible reality, instituted by Christ to confer grace. Every Catholic should know that, because it's a game changer when you recognize this, that God has left us this ability to, has left us signs, even though they are in reality, right? Invisible realities behind it, that these signs have meaning. And so we need to understand that God, instituted by Christ, who is God, gave us these signs, and that those signs, so that it'd be a good time to maybe pick one of them. You know, you've been baptized, you were baptized a long time ago when you were a little kid. This is what baptism does. And to go watch a 22-year-old or a 18-year-old that's going to do that. We brought you when you were little, but these are people.
Great
who
time to them. Break out those photo albums.
Break out the photo albums, exactly. Remember the baptisms. Right. I mean, those are. I think that's always good to kind of tap back into. Again, that's going back in time and recognize, hey, there's your godparents. You know, hope you still see them. But anyway.
And then on Sunday, of course, is,
there are some cool,
you know,
things on Sunday.
Yes, yes. Well, and you know, I think we, as time kind of progressed for us, we sort of stopped the candy fest. Like, definitely had candy and had the Easter baskets
candy
and stuff. Yeah, but you know, kind of cut back on some of that and did more. Sort of had Easter gifts, like a good book, or, you know, a good, devotional that they can use for next year, or, you know, so
or a rosary or
yeah. Yeah. Or, one of the greatest gifts we did one year, was, mask kit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was so fun.
That's meant for the young ones. It was great.
Yes, yes, yes. It had all the, you know, he even had a patent in it. I mean, you know, so it's fun for the kids to be able to, you know, play mass. So just to kind of think about some things that they can use. I mean, obviously, we've just been through Lent, and that is a time that hopefully we have picked up, you know, in addition to all of our things that maybe we've given up, but to have picked up some good habits that we would continue throughout the year. I mean, that's, you know, Lent is sort of that practice ground for that. But I know one of the other really fun things that the kids, I mean, still
today,
the babies are 23, ask about is, are we doing resurrection buns? And that's our breakfast. And it is such an easy recipe. I don't know if we can, I'll figure out if we can get this on the website or not, but super simple. You know, I am
very
not,
good.
I'm not an overachiever when it comes to, not an overachiever when it comes to,
baking
baking and stuff. So this is my, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's mothers out there that would make their own bread. I don't do that. I use biscuits, but you know, super easy. You know, the big grand biscuits that you, Pillsbury biscuits that you get from the store, and you just kind of roll them out so they're a little bit flatter and thinner, and take a large marshmallow, not the small ones, but one of those big marshmallows that you use for like roasting, and you just pinch the dough up around this marshmallow and line them up in a pan, and then you melt butter and do a cinnamon sugar mix, and you just put the cinnamon sugar over, and then you just pour the butter over the top and bake them, you know, for, you know, till they're golden brown or however, you know, the tint that just follow the biscuit recipe. And when they come out, they are just this delicious stickiness of, you know, Cinnabons have nothing on this recipe. But the coolest thing is when you bite into them, because you have wrapped the dough around the large marshmallow, it's the tomb is empty.
it's empty in the middle.
I mean, it's empty, yeah.
Because the marshmallow melts, I guess, goes down into the bottom of it. And so it's an empty tomb.
It's an empty tomb.
And the kids love, I mean, our 27-year-old, you know, will come home and say, we are doing resurrection buns this year. That was cool.
Yeah.
There was another one that we did. I can't remember. What was that?
It was a divinity recipe. And I could not find it. We actually had a whole, it was every bit of the activity, because divinity, I believe, takes vinegar. There's something that you do with vinegar, and like you're crushing the nuts, and it had, it went, it, I
it went
through.
Through all the,
yeah,
I wish really, could find that.
I
that
know,
was really
I really
cool.
will be more diligent video. About looking for that. And maybe we can, I sorry that it maybe not, won't happen this year, but you can have the resurrection buns. But yeah, the divinity was a whole process of, you know, every step you did. Again, there was a verse. I remember we marked all the verses in the Bible, because it had a verse with the, from the crushing of the nuts to the adding of the vinegar to the egg whites being whipped. I mean, it was
all the way down. Then you seal, then mm-hmm. you put, and then the tomb was the oven, and you would put it in the oven, and then you would actually
seal it.
We have the old tape, right, with tape around.
Yeah.
And then the next morning when you'd get up, you'd take off the tape and open it up, and there would be a hollow.
Right.
The divinity had something hollow.
Yeah.
I don't know the way ever it cooked, but it was.
Yeah,
it
the way
was,
they cooked, yeah.
So
yeah.
That was one of my favorites. I still can see videos that we have of the kids arguing about who gets to take the tape off. But
we started cutting it and let everybody have a piece of moving the rock, opening the tomb.
But anyway.
But yeah, so there was a lot more. I think that the beauty of that activity is definitely with older kids, because like I said, each step of the of making the divinity was referred back to a Bible verse and part of the story of Jesus's passion, death, and resurrection.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, we've thrown a lot out there to you, and like anything that we have, I mean, and go find it. There may be something even cooler out there.
Oh, absolutely. Right? I mean, I'm sure there is. This could be looked y'all, up. You're talking. This is
there were pterodactyls flying around when we were parenting kids this young. So I'm sure there's stuff out there to
Google
do.
Google Easter activities, and I'm sure there's a plethora of stuff. I mean, all of this stuff is in a file for me somewhere. So that goes to show you.
Right. We've kept it, but the memories are cool because all the kids still remember it.
Yeah.
And certainly the stuff that tastes good.
Yeah.
still gets asked for every Easter. We're going to have them all. I'm really kind of excited. We're going to have every one of our children and our daughter-in-law, mm-hmm. who's really a daughter.
Yes. We'll have all nine. We'll have all nine of us will be together.
And then for those Cajuns out there, as we draw to a close here, we're doing crawfish after the resurrection buns. So anyway.
I do have a memory verse today. It's going to be John 11:25-26. And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. Anyone who believes in me, even though that person dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
All right. So just remember,
only God can help you take the mystery out of parenthood. Pray, parent with a purpose, and prepare for God to amaze you. He never disappoints. He always does.
He does. God bless you guys.
Yes. We hope you all have a very holy, holy, blessed Easter week and Easter Sunday. Just remember, for every Good Friday, there's
always a
Resurrection Sunday. So,
all right.
We hope you guys really have a very, very blessed time.
God bless you guys. Bye. Cross to